Good morning, Masechet Shabbat Daf Mem Bet, and we're starting on the Amud at Mutar Lemaimer de Shmuel. Just a quick recap from Mem Aleph. So we had yesterday, we spoke about is the machloket like Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yehuda, Davar Shemit Kavein, and we see the difference between Davar Shemit Kavein and the Melacha Shana Tzricha Legufa. And then so we spoke about litzaref. Is tzaref asher? We're putting the cold water onto the hot, etc. And then we ended off by saying, "Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ede Shiu LaHafshir VaShiu LeTzaref Asur uShmuel Amar Afilu Shiu LeTzaref Mutar." That Shmuel says that even a measure of water, which is going to be enough to do tziruf, would also be mutar. Okay. And there, and so that's where we ended off. Now the Gemara is starting here on the Amud and asking the Kasha, Lemaimer, does Shmuel Rabbi Shimon Sfirelei? Does Shmuel hold like Rabbi Shimon? What does it mean like Shmuel hold like Rabbi Shimon? Because we saw that Rabbi Shimon said that Melacha Shana Tzricha or Davar Shana Mitkaven would be okay. So here you're pouring the water, you aren't using the water for tziruf, you're using the water because you want to cool the, heat the water up a little bit or extract the coldness from the water. But the bottom line is it's going to do tziruf. So now it appears that Davar Shana Mitkaven, we didn't want it. And Shmuel says, it seems to be saying like Rabbi Shimon, that if that's not what you wanted and there was a byproduct that wasn't your preferred choice, we don't care. So Shmuel says, how can you say that? Hamash Shmuel, haven't we got a Makoria that Shmuel says? I don't know, Steve, right? Mechabin gachelet shel matechem shel rabim bishvil shlo yizoku barabim. Shmuel says, interesting halacha over here, in Masechet Zvachim, that we've got a situation where if you've got a burning piece of steel, okay, let's say your steel is burnt up in a fire, and now it's a red hot iron, and it's in the Rishta Rabbim, on Shabbos obviously, and people will walk past that could get burnt by it, it's dangerous. So Shmuel says that you can extinguish a burning hot steel, Beshut Arabim, look at Rashi there, Gachel Shel Matechet, Shemashlichin Nechut Psolet Shel Brazil, like some sort of waste product of steel, Delo Shayach Kibui Bahachimirai, says, Midoraita, Kibui, putting out a fire on a piece of burning hot steel, it's not Isur Doraita, Umidrabanan Asur, from Midrabanan's Asur, it's not a Torah based Isur. Right, because the Torah is speaking about putting out fire for coals. We saw before when we came to making the Rashi will say in a second. And therefore, because it's dangerous, when Chachamim said that you can't extinguish any type of fire, even if it's a fire from a burning steel, that's only for the case of putting it out, because it's similar to putting out coals. But if it's dangerous and it's going to cause potential damage in a public place, the Isur Derabanan was not extended to that scenario. That's what Shmuel said. Right? Now, but it's by the same token, if you had a wooden coals burning in Rishta Rabbim, Shmuel said that you can't put out. Right? You ain't put out steel. Look at Rashi. Aval lo shelaitz. De isura doraitehi v'chayev skila. Okay? So now, comes on Gemara and says, wait a second, we want to say a second ago that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, Davar Shana Mitkaven, it wasn't your intention, therefore you patur. So what was our intention now putting out the coals? Do we want to put the coals out because we wanted the coals for the mitzvah of the Isur of Doraita? What was the idea? Remember we saw before that the purpose of extinguishing coals in the Mikdash was to set pecham, to actually make pecham. What's pecham in the coals? Char. What's pecham?
Charcoal,
right? Or we saw that if you light a wick and it burns better, so you can light the wick and then put it out, because now when you come to the second, it'll burn better. Those are the purposes of doing kibui. Just I'm doing kibui because you don't want a coal in this field that to go and burn somebody. That's not a doraita. That seems to be part of the derabanan. And if it's a Davar Shana Mitkaven, you didn't intend to extinguish the coals in order to light a wick or in order to make charcoal, then it's a derabanan, it's not an Isur Doraita. So why don't we say it's Davar Shana Mitkaven and you should be in Batur? You with me? That's the worst question. The Avalok Chajait, the Im Sakhadatach, Savalak Rabbi Shimon, A filushal eitz nami, the mishalayim to even put out the extinguish the coals of wood. Look at Rashi. A filushal eitz nami, dahan Rabbi Shimon, melacha shel shechel gufa patur. So now we've suddenly changed lashon. Up now we spoke about a davar shel mitkaven. Do you pay attention? We speak all the time about davar shel mitkaven. Now suddenly Rashi says, what was the reason over here? It's a melacha she'ena shechel gufa. Putting out these coals in the public place, Rashi says, is a melacha that you aren't doing for the purposes of the coals themselves. You're doing it to extinguish the coals because they're dangerous. V'chol kibui eino tzarich legufo. And when do you want kibui for the purposes of putting out kibui? Me'osei pechamin, if you want to make charcoals, or mehavei petila, if you want the wick to burn better. So now he says, so therefore, just like Rabbi Shimon says, melacha she'ena davar shel mitkaven, so too he says, melacha she'ena gufa. So the Gemara says like this. It says that you can't say the same thing. But davar she'ena mitkaven, when it came to a davar she'ena mitkaven, there savar like Rabbi Shimon, there he held like Rabbi Shimon. And that's why over here he said in we said there that if you stuck in a lot of water and your purpose was to cool the water down, and in the end there was also tziruf, that's a davar shel mitkaven. I had no kavanah for doing tziruf. And there Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. But when it comes to a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, where you did the melacha, but you're doing the melacha for a different purpose to what the melacha was intended for, there Shmuel doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon. And the case of putting out the fire is not a davar shel mitkaven, because there was kavana to put out the fire. There was a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. You didn't do it for the purposes of the melacha, but the kavana was there. Clear? And that's a very subtle difference. So he says, but davar shel mitkaven, savlak Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, we can't ask a kashia on Shmuel from this case of Mechabin and Gachelet, because there, with regards to filling up the water, it was a davar shel mitkaven, and the Gachelet over here is a melacha shel shechel gufa. So when it came to a melacha of putting out the steel fire, that's not a melacha shel shechel gufa, because that's not a melacha. That's not the melacha of intended in the Beit HaMikdash of steel. The melacha there was coals that are burning, or wood that's burning. Sorry, not coals. Wood that's burning in order to make coals. Or a wick that's burning. But so therefore, wood is burning. That's the melacha. And if you're doing the melacha for other purposes, there Shmuel doesn't say you can do it. That's already a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Okay, so we're getting into nice definitions here with some good examples. So now the Gemara is like this. Amar Avina Hilchach. It says, as a result of that, okay, kotz b'shnei rabim, there's a thorn in the Mishnah Rabbim. Okay, a thorn, a dangerous, like a big thorn. It's like a piece, broken piece of glass or something which could cause damage. Molicho pachot pachot midalad amot. You can move it, Sharabim, by less than dalad amot every time. Right? Look at Rashi over here. Hilchach. Kevan de amarte lo gazru shvut de kibui. Matechet b'makom niske de rabim. Since we learned that the whole gezeira didn't apply in Shrabim with his damages, therefore we can apply that principle to a kotz b'shnei rabim. Molicho pachot pachot abba arash says, ad sheyesal kenu letzidei shnei rabim, de isur de rabananu. Once you move it from shnei rabim to tzidei shnei rabim, less than dalet amot once at a time, so you haven't been over on an isur doraita. Isur doraita is tiltul dalet amot b'shnei rabim. If you do it less than that amot every time, you do it 3 amot, then you stop. 3 amot, then you stop. 3 amot, then you stop. So you drabanan. And we're seeing over here that the concept of drabanan, says Ravina, wasn't gozer with his nezek. Okay? So therefore, in all these damages, the drabanan doesn't apply. So doraita, you can't pick it up and say, oh, it's dangerous, I've got to move it and pick it up and carry it 10 amas. No. But the drabanan, the gzeira of doing it, of doing it less than 4 amas, that won't apply in the case of nezek. Clear? Okay. Uba Karmelit, and he says Ravina, and therefore in a Karmelit. Now, what's the purpose of a Rashi? Look at Karmelit. In a Karmelit, Rashi says, yeah, the tiltul di day, the very notion of carrying in a Karmelit only the Rabbanan, then you carry as much as you like. In other words, carrying in the karm limit is itself a issue Rabbanan, doesn't apply to Nezek. So if you're in a Carmelite and you see a broken piece of glass there, which could be very dangerous, you can pick it up and carry it 20 meters, it makes no difference. Because the concept of Nezek overrides the Gzaira of Rabbanan. Or better, there isn't a Gzaira Rabbanan when it comes to Nezek. Okay, that's a proper brisker Chakira. Is it Tahor or Nidche? Right? Is it Nitar or Nidche? Right? Hutar or Nidche? Is it Hutar or Nidche? So now the Mishnah carried on and said, Aval Noten. Let's go back to the Mishnah quickly. The Mishnah bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph said, Hamecham Shepinahu lo yiten dochot sonen bishvil shechamu. You can't put water into it because you're out in order that you can warm it up. Aval Noten hu letocho. We battled with this understanding. What does it mean? But you can put it into something else. Now we come into another interesting concept. We only got 1 hour, because maybe it's lucky we only got 1 hour because we never finish. Or 50 minutes. But we got a lot of concepts here in this parik, which we can go very quickly. There's a come to a concept now called Tata Gavar or Ila Gavar. When it comes to anybody who's learned Shabbos, Bishul on Shabbos will know, right? Tata Gavar means the bottom. Tata means Tachat. So is the bottom Gavar? Does the bottom overrule or gover ala Elyonim? Or do we say Ila Gavar, the Elyon gover ala Tachton? See, that's a classic example, right? If the hot water is in a cup, in a bowl, you're going to pour cold water into the hot water. So do we say Tata Gavar, the hot water now is what's ruling, and the hot water will heat the cold water because it's coming from above? Or do we say, no, Ila Gavar, the hot water, the cold water is going to override the hot water. If we say Ila Gavar, and then you got the water in a pot and it's boiling hot, so we don't care, you pour the cold water into the hot water, it's not going to cause Bishul on Shabbos, because Ila, the Elyonim Gavar. But if we say Tata Gavar, then we got a problem, because as you pour cold water into the hot water is cooking the cold water. And that's one of our problems using a geyser on Shabbos. The geyser's got hot water in it. Water comes in, right? And we say that the hot water in the geyser will cook the cold water coming in. Okay? So now, the truth be told, there's not actually exactly the exact example, because in our geysers today, the cold water comes in at the bottom. Because the idea is that the heat rises up and then goes out into the water tap of the house on the top. So not exactly the right example. So let's scrap that example. Okay. So now, Rav Noten Adam Cham in Letoch Hatzon. So you can understand what's going on over here. You can put water, Letoch Hatzon, hot water into cold water. Right? If we say Tata Gavar, so now the cold water is Gover. The cold water is at the bottom. So the cold water is not getting cooked by the hot water. It's cooling the hot water halachically. Velo Hatzone Letoch Hacham. You can't pour cold into hot because Tata Gavar. Right? Divrei Beit Shammai. Look at Rashi quickly. Cham in Letoch Tzonen. The Ksavar Tata Gava. You see that? Because the opinion here is he's holding a Tata Gava. Ve'ein achamin martichin atzonen ele mafshirin. And therefore, when you pour hot water into cold water, so the hot water is not cooking the cold water, it's just warming it up. That's a physical reaction. We can't deny that, right? If you pour hot water into cold water, the cold water will get warmer. But halachically, it won't get cooked. That is what Beit Shammai says, right? Ubehir omrim bein chamin etoch hatzonei bein hatzonei etoch hachamin mutar. And Behir says we make no difference which way you do it, right? You can do it every way you want. I skipped out of Rashi. I want to go back into the Kohanim part. I want to read these Rashis. Chamin etoch tzonei deksav atat gavar velo tzonei etoch hachamin, not tzonei to chamin, sheatachtonim, the bottom waters, martichim etalim, will boil the cold waters, the top waters, the Tata Gavar. Okay? So that's why in both directions, Tata Gavar, so therefore cold getting into hot is bad, hot getting into cold, but Shammai's concern is okay. But Hillel says, either way it's good. Why? We'll have to understand why. The words of Abedrim Amorim, what are we speaking about when we say, I want to just check something on myself here. Give me half a second. Right, is it like this? Says, what are we talking about? May I remember because what are we speaking about? This whole story that's in a cup. Aber bei Ambati, when it comes to a bath, like a big container, right? Chamin letoch atzonein, velo tzonein letoch achamin. Right? It seems that they're talking about Rabbi Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says, irrespective, right? You can never ever stick cold into hot, only hot into cold. Beit Hillel says, no problem, hot or cold. Gemara seems to be, the bride's a bit confused. But Medra Mamurim, what are we speaking about? He says, Bakulugash Bakos, the lishtei kavei lehu. Because you're going to drink. Because you don't want to boil water, because you're not going to drink boiling hot water. So therefore, if it's for drinking purposes, we don't mind, because you're never going to actually bring the water to Yad Soledet or to a temperature that's Asher on Shabbos, because you can't drink that heat. Most people can't drink at that temperature. Right? Also, another reason he's saying over here is because the cup is a klisheini. So we introduced a new concept now, which we already saw the other day in the bathhouse, remember, where we had with the oil, where he says, stick the klisheini, and it goes, Rabbi, who was it there? Rabba? Who was it? Where he said, Tolbe klisheini, it was on Daf Memamud Bet. We said there, who was it? Acharebi. Nichasi Acharebi, but Amerchatz. Rebi. Where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said there, remember, he said that he wanted to warm up the oil, and he said rather take the water, put it into a cliche, and then put the oil into that. Because the cliche animal vashel, the kli rishon, even though the water was husar minaish, no longer on the fire, would still be mavashel. So same idea of here, saying if it's in a cup, we could just have a problem. Why? Because you put the water into a cup, and the cup is a cliche, so even if it would boil, it's in the clear already, it wouldn't. But it's a little bit of a problem because we've got irui. We'll get to that later. So the first answer is a better answer, Rashi, I think. Okay, so now, Avabambati, which is a big, and you want a bath, you will have a bath in a hot bath. There's a little bit, even Behila would agree, Chamin letoch atzonein, velo tzonein letoch hachamin. So we see that when it comes to a bath, so Behila and Shammai don't argue. When it comes to a cup, for drinking purposes, there Behila says, no problem, you can do it either way, because we don't worry about that, the gavar, because it's not going to be too hot to begin with. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, Oser, Shuvanasi, he comes along and says, Asur, full stop, always. It seems to be understanding over here. He's even arguing on Beit Shammai, who says that you can put Tzonen into Chamin and not Chamin, Tzonen, not Tzonen into Chamin. Look at Rashi, yeah? Shuvanasi, Oser, Afilu Chamin de Toch Tzonen. See that even like Beit Shammai said, you can put hot water into cold water. Full stop, Asur. So I'm Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Rishim Rav Nachman says, Halacha is very chamur. You can't put hot water into cold, and you can't put cold water into hot, and it makes no difference what we're talking about. Either way, asu. So now, the Gemara is a bit troubled. What does it mean that Halacha is like Rav Menasya? Right? So now the Gemara is like a Savra of Yosef Lemeimar. You have Yosef wanted to say. Right? Now, on this was a brighter. These are all Tanaim. Rabbi Yosef is a later already Amoraim. We saw Rabbi Yosef and Rabba were contemporaries, and then Rabba died. Remember, then Rabbi Yosef took over the Beit Midrash, and we saw our discussions the last few Dapim between Rabbi Yosef and Abaya. Remember? Okay. So now, Sabar, Rabbi Yosef Lemeimar, Sefel, Harehu Kambati. What's a Sefel? Sefel is like a big mug. Like not a cup, but like a bigger mug, like a soup bowl maybe. How do they translate Sefel there in English, by the way? You know English there, Sefel? Steve, Michael, anybody?
Basin.
A basin. Okay, like a big, okay, even bigger, basin. So Rav Yosef wanted to say that a Sefel was like an ambati. Look at Rashi. Sefel haruk ambati, as opposed to a kos, as opposed to a cup, right? Where a cup, we saw where Hillel was okay with a cup, right? Afal gav the klisheini, even though it's a klisheini, hoyel velav l'shtia elil rechitza, since you're not going to drink out of it, and therefore you'd be concerned about the temperatures, asira et asur, denichelei sheyechamu harbe, because in a bath, in a basin, we want very hot water, and therefore gazrina, and there's a gzaira. So he says, adachinam, it's not isur doraita, because it's a klisheini. And a klisheini, we already saw anima vashel, but because it's similar to a bath, there's a gzaira that you can't use it. Okay, that's what Rav Yosef wants to say. So Amar Abaya, so we've seen this before, right? Abaya and Rav Yosef spoke a lot, because Abaya seems to have basically inherited Rabba's mantle, and therefore, even though Rav Yosef is the Rosh Yeshiva, Abaya is like this Talmid Muvhak of Rabbi. He lived in Rabbi's house, and he's a big Talmid Chochem, and seems to be like a Talmid Chaver of Rabbi Yosef. So Amar Abaya, he He says, what are you talking about? Tani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, we've spoken Rabbi Chiya before. Rabbi Chiya was a Talmud of Rabbi. He was a contemporary of Rav, Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Chiya is sometimes brought as a Tana, sometimes brought in Amora. And I mentioned this before, we saw this a couple of, in Brachot, that when Rabbi Chiya is quoted as Tana, when it says Tani Rabbi Chiya, we bring him as a Tana. When it's Amar Rabbi Chiya, we bring Rabbi Chiya as an Amora. Remember that we saw before, right? It's easy to remember. Tani, Tana, Amar, Amora. Okay, not difficult to understand that, right? So here, Tani Rabbi Chiya, we learned Rabbi Chiya taught, Rabbi Chiya also wrote Brightas, right? Sefer Eino Kambati. Rabbi Chiya says, how can you say that Sefer is like an Ambati? Rabbi Chiya taught that Sefer Eino Kambati. So now the Gemara says like this. Now the Gemara wants to understand Rabbi Yosef. What was it prompting Rav Yosef to even think initially that a Sefer was like an Ambati? Why do you think that? V'am Rav Nachman, halacha kashur b'Benasya. And we see that Rav Nachman had already said over there that halacha is like Rabbi B'Nasya, which means what? It means everything's Asur. That even an Ambati is Asur. Everything was Asur as far as Rabbi B'Nasya was concerned. So what do we care what a Sefer is like? A Kos is Asur, a Sefer is Asur, an Ambati is Asur, it's all Asur. Seems to be saying Asur like Rabbi Shammah. Right? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Are you trying to tell me? If you're trying to tell me that Halacha is like Rabbi, now we've got a question on a question. So if you want to tell me that the Halacha is like Rabbi Nasya, Rabbi Nasya says it's Asur at any given time to put hot water into cold water or cold water into hot water, you can never ever get to a stage where you've got hot water on Shabbos that you can wash with. So are you telling me that to bath on Shabbos in hot water is completely Asur, even to like wash your hands, your face, and your legs? What Rechitza Bechamin? Mi Savar, look at Rashi. Sefer Dareu Kambat, Ve'ele de Shabbat Rechitza Bechamin, Leika? Rashi is Bitmiyah, that's a question. What are you saying? There's no way of washing in hot water. Tahal Rabbi Shimon. What are Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon Aviyash, Rabbi Shimon Benassia, right? Afilu Chamin Netoch Tzonen Asur, even putting cold water, hot water into cold water is Asur. So we don't only say Tata Gavar, we've got to worry if the water's at hot water's beneath, even hot water into cold water is Asur. Lo Mishkachat Chamin Shuchmu Vafilu Mir Shabbos. You know, Rashi says, even hot water that was warmed Erev Shabbos, so you're never going to find hot water that you don't have to cool down a bit. It's too hot to wash your face with hot water. It was warmed up Erev Shabbos and it was stuck in a flask, let's say, right? It was Duhat Panash, Bleed or Sifhev. Just stayed hot. You can't wash your face with that. You've got to add a bit of cold water. So according to Rabbi Nasi, you can never add cold water to hot water or hot water to cold water. How are you ever get water that's a temperature you can wash your face with? V'im kain, lo yirchotz afilu panav yadav raglav b'chamin. It's a question. How's it going? Does it work? Right? So we've got a lot of questions here. Why did Rav Yosef think that a sefil was like an ambati? We saw that Rav Chiya said it isn't. What was the thing? And anyhow, even if we say so, that Rav Chiya Rav Shimon Nasir says it's asur to wash it all with a Shabbos, how can it be? Right? So the Gemara is like, it's misavart Rav Shimon Nasir kai. You making a mistake. Right, this brighter said two things. The brighter said, look at the brighter, not ten adam chamin toch atzonei, not ten toch chamin, dibra bet shamai, we don't mean bet chamin toch atzonei, betzonei betoch chamin mutar. And then, but we mean because al abati chamin toch atzonei, we had two things. One was the bachomi hilbet shamai, and the one was the issue, question of a kos and an abati. So he says, why do you think that Rabbi Shimon Manasseh is going on the seifa, on this kos, right, which even a cup you couldn't use, or an abati you couldn't use? Maybe not. He says, maybe look at Rashi. Mi savad Rabbi Shimon Manasseh asefer kai. Look at Rashi. Mi savad Rabbi Shimon Manasseh asefer kai. De lo shari tanakama elachamin letoch tzonein. That was Beit Shammai already. The Tanakama said that not ten adam chamin toch tzonein velo tzonein betoch chamin. Beit Shammai. Right? The Beit Shammai said that you can only put cold water, hot water into cold, not cold into hot. And he came along to Manasseh and said, no, even that you can't do. He wasn't talking about that. Aresha kai, the shtia. V'tzonen letoch chamin. The kasharu by Hillel kasa. He said, no. What Beit Shammai, what Manasseh was talking about, Beit Hillel there, who said that you can use it for drinking purposes. But for even drinking purposes, he said you can't do for drinking purposes, but for washing. That's something else altogether. Right? Misavad Rav Shimon, Asefer Kai, Aresha Kai. Ubei Hillel matir mechamin tochtonim betel tochtonim chamin. So he says, and now what? You're saying that was Ubei Hillel there. Rabbi Shimon ben Asi oser tzonin etoch chamin, and they was asur. So now, what are we seeing over here? That he was really holding like Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, what? V'leim Rabbi Shimon ben Asi d'amar ka Beit Shammai? How could that be? Elachi ka'amar. He says, no, this is what he was saying. Rabbi Shimon ben Asi was like, lo nechi Beit Shammai hidah, but that was there. On the contrary, the Gemara says, no. He isn't holding that halacha is like Beit Shammai. What he's saying is that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai don't argue on this question. Now he changes the whole breita. He said, no, I'm not saying halacha like Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai, right, I'm saying just that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai don't disagree. So if they don't disagree on something, the halacha is like Beit Hillel. The klal remains. How can that be? Right? So that's his name. Look over here. I think there's a Likutei. If you go to Rabbanu Chananel, if you go to Rabbanu Chananel, you're daf. Look at Rabbanu Chananel. You got it there, right? Rabbanu Chananel. If you go, it's about a quarter from the end. Rabbanu Chananel said like this: Ve'okimne lahad Rabbi Shimon ben Asya she'oser. When we establish it, what does it mean by oser? Klomar lo nechleku beit shama ubehilal ela afilu behilal osrin. Ubehilal says asur. So why did Rabbi Shimon say Alacha is Rabbi Shimon ben Asi who said Asur, meaning even Hillel is Asur? Kevan de Amrav Huna Chazin el Rav de Lo Kapit Zimnin Avid Kamar Zimnin Avid Kamar Tarabi Chia de Tarabi Chia Noter Adam Kitan Shomai Notoch Sefel Rav Ashi Metarish Lad Rav. You're right. Let's read the end of the sugya and become clearer. So Rashi Rabbi Yochanan saying that really what's happening over here is like this: when Rabbi Shimon Asi said Oser. Let's read the brighter now. Tarabran noten adam chamin l'toch hatzonen, v'ratzon l'toch hachamin, dir Beit Shammai. Rabbi Hillel says, bain chamin, bain tzonen, l'toch hachamin mutar. And there, Rabbi Shimon Asi said, oser. But Hillel is even oser on that. But Hillel doesn't say you can put the tzonen into the chamin. There, he agrees with Beit Shammai. So now, how can halacha be like Hillel and Beit Shammai? How can they not arguing? Why do we assume they aren't arguing? Let's carry on. The Gemara said like this. Amar Rav Huna, b'raid Rav Yeshua, chazin elei l'rava, delo kapid amana. He wasn't worried about a kli. Amana, he has a kli, right? Right, about any type of kli. Midatan Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia said, noten adam kiton shomayim, l'toch sefel shomayim, bein chamin l'toch tzonim, bein tzonim l'toch chamin. Okay, let's look at this very clearly. Midatani Rabbi Chia, he has Rabbi Chia coming as a Tana, right? Rabbi Chia taught in a brighter Rabbi Chia, like this, that a person can put a kiton shomayim, like a flask of water, into a basin of water, a flask of water into a basin of water. Bein chamin etoch tzonen, bein tzonen etoch mayim. It seems whether the flask is hot and the basin is cold, or the basin is cold and the basin is hot and the flask is cold. That's what it appears. So, and Rabbi Chia said, we don't care which way it goes. So it seems over here that we don't have this concept of tata gava. Because if my basin is full of hot water, and I put my flask of cold water into the basin of the hot water, so the hot water is cooking my flask, I don't care. And if my flask is hot and my basin is cold, and I put in my flask into the basin, I don't care either. That's what we seem to be saying. And therefore, from this, we see over here, we're going to try to understand there's no real difference between the two, and therefore it's all okay, and therefore there's no real machlok here by Lemet Shammai, and we have to understand exactly what Rav Nasi Amir, but he said there's no machlok. But it's a bit difficult because it's not the same case. The case over here is that the flask is going into the basin, right? Not water into water. You got it? Clear? Right. So that's the Gemara. We'll sort that in a second. So the Gemara says, Amale Rav Huna Rav Ashi. Rav Huna now says, because this was Rav Huna, Brad Rav Yeshua says this. Rav Huna says to Rav Ashi on this subject, maybe that's a completely different set of circumstances. Why? Dil Mishani Hatam De Mifsak Kli. Because there, you haven't got water going into water. You've got a flask of water going into the water. So because there's a kli, the flask is separating the waters, I mean, there it's a different circumstance. We spoke about pouring water into water. Here you're putting a flask into the water. You with me? Everybody clear? Yes. Anybody nodding? Yeah. Okay. So he says, no, Amar Rav Huna Rav Ashi, Dear Mishalik, Amalei Ma'are Itmar. He says, no. the actual brayta of Rab Chiya wasn't not 10 sefel shomayim, it was me'are. Look, he reads it, me'are adam kiton shomayim etoch sefel shomayim, ve'enchem etoch tzonim ve'enchem etoch chamin. So the person could pour a flask of water into a basin of water, irrespective of whether the basin was hot or the flask was hot. So we see from this that Rabbi Chiya didn't care about it. Right? We're not talking about in a bath. In a bath, we're talking about a sefel, right? A sefel and a jug. Therefore, it seems to be for drinking purposes. Therefore, we seem to think it makes no difference. So it appears that both Hillel and Beit Shammai, in the end, according to this, would agree. If we say it's a machloket, actually, they all agree like Beit Hillel, not like Beit Shammai. And that's why he says over there that Manasseh, if you anything would tell us they weren't arguing, but if they use the Lashon Asu, we have to understand why that is. I'm not 100% sure, but that seems to be the summary over here. So if you want to just quickly take a half a second, we're waiting for time. No, we don't. Okay, let's carry on. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'ilfas, now we're carrying on the Mishnah discussing the different types of kaidin that we cooked with. So we started with a kira and a tanur, and then we went from a tanur went to a kupach. Then from a kupach, we spoke about putting things, leaning things up against them. Then we spoke about a tanur that we had a kira, and then a kupach, and then a tanur. Then we had again leaning up against them. Then we spoke our last mishnah that we spoke about yesterday. We spoke about hamecham shepinu. Right, we're still talking here about like kettles and muliar agaruf, and we saw different types of kalim which have got heating elements attached to it, and all the ways to heat up food. Now we're speaking about, and those things are really kalim which themselves are used for cooking, and yet another type of kli is also used for cooking. Ilpas is like a big pot, and a kedera is a small pot. How do they translate them in English? That's my translation. What's an English translation?
Steinsaltz
says
a stew pot.
It's a pot in a jar.
No, a kedera is not a jar. A kedera is a pot.
Oskar says a frying pan.
Frying pan, okay. What, an ilpis or a kedera? Oskar says ilpis is a frying pan.
Yes, and Steinsaltz says it's a stew pot.
Okay, and a kedera is just a pot.
Just a pot.
Right, okay. So you've got either a frying pan or a pot, whatever, got different types of things you put on the stove to cook with. Shehaviran mirotchin. Right, now what does it mean, shehaviran? Look at Rashi. Shehaviran mina'ur. They've been removed from the fire. So you had a frying pan, you're frying eggs, and you got some oil in the frying pan, and now you remove it and you put it next to the stove on the shayish. It's called kli rishon shehusar mi'al gabei ha'ish. That's the concept. That's the definition. It's the first kli that you cook from that's been removed from the fire. Okay, so we're going to see now. We already come across kli rishon and kli sheni. Now we've got a new concept here. Kli rishon, it doesn't make a difference if it's on the fire while the frying pan's on the fire or it's removed from the fire. So now we're talking about ilpas ba kedera she'eviran mirotkin. You take it off the fire. Lo yiten netochan tavlin. You can't put spices into them. Right, who's making a noise there? Okay, quiet, gone. Okay, right. Lo, so we say over here, lo yiten netochan tavlin. You can't put spices into them. Aval noten hu letocha kara or letocha tamchui. But you can't put. When it says hu over here, I think it's talking about spices, right? Let's look over here. Yeah. The article says, who tavlin? You can put spices into the kara or the tamchui. What's the kara or the tamchui? Rashi says the kli sheni and mevashel. So now the kara is a kara is like a bowl, or a tamchui is a very big bowl. A tamchui is a Gemara term for like a central bowl that everyone eats from. So you take from the fire. A serving dish, thank you. A serving dish, right? You put it into the serving dish, and from there you serve it to people's plates. Or a karak, which is the bowl, right? Like a smaller type of thing. So now look at Rashi. The cliche of Rashi, once you put the food into the kara or the tamchui, now you can add spices as much as you like, because now it's in a cliche, and a cliche eino mevash doesn't cook. Rashi says, tamchui ka'ein kara gedola. It's like a type of a karak, a bowl, but a big one. You pour the whole pot into it. Umisham arele karo. From there, you serve into, you pour into bowls. Okay, like a serving bowl, like Iris said. Right, so that is the Tanakamet. The Mishnah says that you can't put it while it's on the ilpas or on the kedera while it's off the fire, but once you've poured it into a kara or tamcha, you can then put spices on. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lechora noten, sorry, lechora noten, you can put spice into whatever you want, chutz min avar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir, unless it's got vinegar in it or gravy in it. So we're going to see the Gemara is going to try and understand what is Rabbi Yehuda. Is Rabbi Yehuda coming to be mekil or to be mach? We'll see it in a second. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda says, "It's klishon or klishan." You're at chutz midavash sheyesh bo chometz otzir shehein mevashlin et hatavlin k'shehein rotchin. He says, "Because these things, if it's vinegar or gravy, while it's still boiling, you put spices in to cook the spices." Okay, so spices cook easy, right? They don't need a lot of heat. We'll see it just now. And therefore he says that Rabbi Yehuda says that you can use as long as it isn't chomer or tzir, you haven't got a problem. Just give me half a second. Okay. So now the Gemara Ibai Leu. That question was asked in the Beit Midrash. Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda said lako no hunotain, you can put it in anything you want. Aresha kayu lakula. Or Dilma Asefa Kai Ulukhumra. Look at Rashi. Aresha Kai, was he speaking about the Ilpas, right? This Ilpas over here, or the Kadaira? The Ka'asa Tanaka, the Tanaka, you can't put spices into it. Ukar Rabbi Yehuda said, no problem, a whole Ilpas, you can put into the Ilpas, even though it's a Kli Rishon. Why? The Kli Rishon Lomavashel. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that a Kli Rishon Lomavashel. Now, I think it's fair to say that we speak about a Kli Rishon Shehusar Mina Eish, right? There's no Hava Mina here. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that a Kli Rishon on the fire doesn't Mavasha. It's clearly a Kli Rishon Shehuvar Mina Eish, like the Mishnah said, right? The Mishnah said, Ha'ilpas Va'kedera Sheheviran, that you took off the fire. Okay? So he says, maybe Rabbi Yehuda says that a Kli Rishon, once it's off the fire, doesn't cook any longer. If it's a Kli Rishon, therefore stick it in, no problem, unless there's Tzir or Chometz. Or Dilma Asefakai, maybe no, maybe he's talking about the second part of the Mishnah, which says what? Akara v'tamchui, where Rabbi the Tanakama said that in the once you pour it into the serving bowls, there you can put tavlin in. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, even there you can't. Why? The Kashari Tanakama, he said, no problem. Uka'amar le Rabbi Yehuda says, no, b'chol ka'arot v'tamchuyin modinelach. He says, I agree with you on all of those things, that on a tamchui or a kara, you can stick in tavlin, chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz, unless that tamchui or kara has got vinegar in it or gravy. Why? Because afilu klishani namilo, even the klishani you can't put it in, because the vinegar or the chometz, the vinegar or the gravy in that klishani will even mevashel. So we've got two ways to say Rabbi Yehuda is saying, lekula, that the kli rishon, what Tanakama said, you can't use. He said, no, you can. Kli rishon, once off the ash, doesn't cook. And this is gravy and vinegar, it's extenuating circumstances. Or he's coming to Chumri, he says, you know what, even a klisheini, if it's got vinegar in it or gravy, can still cook. And that changes the whole dinner of Shabbos, because we've got suddenly a klisheini bevasha. So now, okay, I don't want to get to that. So now that's the question. So the Gemara tries to answer. Toshma, see a brighter. Got a brighter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda himself said, L'chol ilpesin hunoten, L'cho ha-kedeirot r'cho tunoten. He says you can put into ilpas, which is definitely a Kli Rishon, and into all kedeiras, which are definitely a Kli Rishon, chut midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. Straightforward, a brighter. So we haven't got a question any longer. Rabbi Yehuda says straight out that a Kli Rishon shehusar mi'a'esh doesn't mevashel unless it's got inside it chometz or tzir. So it's clearly lahakel. So now the Gemara brings again here a case, it's a trend, we're seeing it over here. Rabbi Yosef raises the question, Abaya argues with him, and they bring Rabbi Chia to sort of be the adjudicator, right? Same idea. Sav Rabbi Yosef, the Meimar, Melach, Reu Ketavlin. So now the question is, what about salt? Is salt like spice, or is salt not like spice? It's just worth mentioning over here, I think I mentioned it before, that salt is the only stone, right, a mineral, that we actually make a brocha on. If you would pick up, I don't know, some other mineral and eat it, you would make a brocha. You don't eat minerals, right? But salt is a mineral, and we make a brocha on salt, and we consider it food halachically, right? So salt is firstly, and you eat salt, and we're seeing here, salt, is it mavash, is it like food? So the words like this, Rav Yosef was wondering, is salt like a tavlin? If it's a tavlin, so then can we stick it into a clear rishon? Right? If it's not a tavlin, then maybe we can stick it into a clear rishon. Shehusar mina aish. We're talking about a via, right? So now, some Rav Yosef, the maimer, melech haruk a tavlin. The bekli rishon bashela, ubekli shani lo bashela. Right? In a clear rishon, it would be cooked. And in a clear shine, you wouldn't be over any soul. So therefore, you couldn't put salt into a clear rishon. Look at Rashi there. The bekli rishon, nami lo b'shela. I'm skipping another Rashi coming up. It just helps us understand the sugya early on. He says, if the bekli rishon, nami lo b'shela, umutar li ten v'afidu bekli rishon, mishaviru mina'ur. So Rashi says, if the clear rishon doesn't cook it, if it could put into a clear rishon, then it would be okay to put into a clear rishon once it's off the ash. Now let's go back and look at the Gemara. So Amale Abaya, so Abaya says to Rav Yosef, Tanya Rabbi Chia, we got a bright Rabbi Chia that said, Melach ain't like a tavlin. It's not like a tavlin. The Bekli Shaini Nami Bishla, he says, Ilchumra. A Melach is not like tavlin. Tavlin, right, doesn't Mevashel in a cliche. A Shaini is not Mevashel tavlin. A Melach, even cliche is Mevashel. So Gemara says that there is obligatory of Nachman. Number of Nachman. What of Nachman says? Nachman says tricha milcha bishula kebisha de tura. What does that mean? That melach needs cooking like bull's meat. In other words, it needs a lot of cooking. What does it mean? A lot of cooking. A lot of cooking means that even that you have to leave it for a long time on hot fire to cook, which means that a clear rishon that's been removed from the fire wouldn't be good enough to cook salt. And therefore, you could stick salt into a clear rishon once you've taken it off the fire, because the fire isn't strong enough to cook it, because melach needs so much cooking that isn't enough to cook it. So that's the one way of learning it. Vika de Amri, there's another way of learning this, whole sugya. Sav Rav Yosef lemeimar, Rav Yosef thought that melach are a tavlin, that is like a tavlin, the bekli rishon b'shayla, does cook. And bekli shayla lo bashla, bekli shayla wouldn't cook. And there, Amale Abaya, Abaya said, no, Tan Reb Chia, Melach and a Ketavlin, it's not a Ketavlin, the Bekli Rishon Nami Lo Beshela, that's Rashi we saw. And even in a Kli Rishon, it wouldn't become cooked. So definitely not a Kli Shaini, even a Kli Rishon wouldn't cook it. V'hai Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman said, Tzricha Milchet Bishula Kebisha De Tura, that salt needs so much cooking. To cook salt, you've got to cook it for a long time, that a Kli Rishon, once it's off the ash, isn't going to cook it, not a problem. So either way you learn the sugya, the conclusion is that Melach, you can stick into a Kli Rishon once it's off the ash. Okay. I want to make one comment about this idea here of tavlin in a Kli Shaini, right? For example, tea. So there are people who are machmir, there are things we will get to which are called kalei bishul, things that cook very, very easily. Tea is one of those things that cook very, very easily. So that's why tea, we've discussed this before as well the other day, tea, you can't, in a kli shaini, you can't make tea in a kli shaini. So what's a kli shaini? If you take your cup of water and you open the urn and let the water run into your cup, the cup now becomes a kli shaini. You can't stick tea bag into that cup, because kli shaini is mevashel for kalei bishul, things that cook very easily. So to make tea, if you want to use tea bags, not everyone, he said you can use, but those say you can use tea bags, you've got to at least pour from the urn into your cup, then take the water in that cup and pour it into another cup, and that second cup becomes the third kli, because the urn is the first kli, the first cup is the second kli, and the third cup is the third kli, and then put the tea bag into the cup. If you put the tea bag into the cup first, and you pour from the second cup into the third cup, and the tea bag's already in the cup, then you get what's called irui kli shaini. Like we saw here, ma'are, you're pouring. Now, irui of a kli is like the kli itself. So when you pour water out the urn into your cup, that water running out is considered still a kli rishon. When you pour from your cup into the second cup, that's called the kli shaini. So you're pouring now kli shaini onto the tea. That's no good. You've got to put the water into the kli, and then put the tea bag into the kli. With coffee, there's a bigger machlok. We've discussed this recently on Yontif. Coffee, there are possibly, I think even Shmash, funny enough, I think Pidei Halacha said you can make coffee because coffee is cooked already. But I know that the minag is generally even be machmir on coffee in a kli shaini. And the same idea, you're going to first pour the water into the cup and then the coffee into the water. You put the water into the cup first, then go to the urn and put the water onto the cup. So then for those people who say that it's not good enough, you've got kli rishon on the coffee now. Okay, so you've always got to first have the water in the kalif.
Irrespective of temperature.
Sorry?
Let's say you put the water into the kalish, into the klisheni, and then wait 5 minutes.
No. Well, then it's not. If it's yad toledet bor, then it's not issue of bishul. But I mean, most normal people don't want to put coffee into cold water unless you want iced coffee, and then we're not discussing cooking.
No, I'm talking about tea. Okay, but fine.
And then even tea, if you wait 5 minutes, then the water's cooled down already, so you're not going to cook your tea back.
I mean, it might not be yad soledet bor, but it wouldn't be as hot as the klisheni would have been, or klisheni.
If it's not yad soledet bor, then I don't think we've got a problem, but I think it's best to not take a chance. Okay, but niti. Okay, ain't not in kli tachar aner. Now we come to the last halacha quickly. Ain't not in kli tachar aner. Right, we come to now we've got a separate halachic concept over here as well. Now, remember, we discussed already up until we discussed muktzah. Right, muktzah is something that wasn't in your mind Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashot. If you had no intention to use it, you can't use it. If something was in your mind and it was a kli, and now the halacha is what's called mevatel mehaychano, you're now going to strip that kli of its utility. It's also a problem on Shabbos, because you had something which was usable, and now you've made it non-usable. That's called Nevatel Kli Mehechano. We'll see it in a second. That's the one problem. The second problem is, and so by making something, if you take something which is Muktzah and put it on something which wasn't Muktzah, you now made that thing which wasn't Muktzah, Muktzah. You got it? So if something is Muktzah and you put it on something which wasn't Muktzah, that's the problem with moving a table with candlesticks on it. So even though it's a Basista Davar Asur, if you've got a candlesticks on a table, you can't touch the table. There are reasons, examples when you can, but as a rule, right? Because the base basically assumes the subject. So then we discuss it over here. So now, ein notnin kli tachar aner. Let me just say like this. Look at Rashi. Ein notnin b'shabbos kli tachar aner, some sort of vessel under the candle. We're talking about a wax candle. Not a wax candle, but now like an oil candle, right? Lekabel bo shevet to get the oil that's dripping off it. Why? Mishum de shemen muktzahu, because the shemen is muktzah. Remember, we discussed this the other day, right? When you set aside oil to burn a candle from it, you've now written off that oil. That oil is now muktzah. And now, ukesavar ain kli nital b'shabbat ila tzorech davar ha-nital. You can only use a kli in the first place for something which you could have used as well. So you can take a knife to cut the apple, but you can't take a knife to go and, I don't know, use it to unscrew something which was muktzah on Shabbos. A stupid example, but that's a quick to come to mind. Inami says Rashi, another problem here is, Kesava isu isur vatel kli mehaychano. You now hoshiv kli b'makom shel yuchal od litalo misham. Da havek kovelo makom mechabro betit v'dame lemelacha v'kli ze mishipul bo Hashem mukze mishipul bo Hashem na mukze yasu litalo. Another problem: you're taking a kli as if you nailed that kli into the floor, because once the oil drips into that kli, the oil was mukze. The kli now become mukze. If you fasten, you built that kli to the floor, you were vatel me'achano, you got rid of that kli. It's another problem with Shabbos. There are two problems over here. The one is mukze, and the one is you can't even take the kli to go and do it on Shabbos, because the kli is only mutar to be used for something which is mutar, not for something which is mukze. And the second problem is, if you did it, you've now lost the kli's gone. So if you built the kli to the floor on Shabbos, because you now can't move it anymore, that's a separate problem on its own. Okay. So the kavod way Hashem, but im netnua mi bod yom. If you stuck at the Erev Shabbos, mutar would be okay. Rashi says here, mutar. I'm picking up speed over here. Is it no Rashi? Mutar lahanicha. You can't put it there. Ve'ein niutin. Rashi says you ain't utin. You can't get any hana from it. Lefi she'eno mina muchan. It wasn't risi. You can't get any hana from that once it's done. Now Gemara Amar Rav Chisda. Says from this we're going to see that you also can't stick a kli under a chicken to get the egg, right? But if the egg does hatch on, is laid on Shabbos, right? The egg that lays on Shabbos is muktzah. So if you put a kli underneath it to get the egg, the egg's muktzah, the kli becomes muktzah exactly like the oil. But if the egg was laid there in the middle of your lounge, right, you don't have to lap, it'll just trample on the egg. You can take a kli and cover the egg and protect the egg that you can do. That's what Rav Chisda says. Now, my rabbi, my time, Rav Chisda's reason, where does he get it from? He says, Rav Chisda's svara is like this. Kesavar tarnagolet asuya lehatil be'etzlah ba'ashpa. We assume that a chicken will lay eggs in unpleasant places. Ashpaya means like in a rubbish, in a dirt garden or whatever. Right? Look at Rashi. There's no Rashi on that, right? Ba'ashba, sorry. Ba'ashba, v'yesh lachushem tishaver b'ragli adam v'kofeleki, and therefore we can assume that that's where chickens will go to lay their eggs, and therefore it's something which is in our mind, and therefore you can cover it clear there. V'ayna asuyal yatil beitzav makom midron. Now when we say on a midron, it's like on a slope. The first Mishnah and the Gemara said, "Ain not nim kitach ra'ner lo kabel ra'shemen." Imo dem duchav yodov. Sorry, Amar Rav Chisda. Afu Mishnah Amru ain not nim kitach ra'tana. Go to kabel beitz tarashi says there, "Keshehi meit tilatav makom midron." If the egg would be laid like on a slope, shemet itgalgel v'tshemen. Maybe the egg might roll down and break. U'midiyukin the matnitin shemen and learned it from the diyuk in the Mishnah. The damin noten kitach ra'ner lo kabel ra'shemen. Similar to getting oil, because oil will drip onto the floor and go to waste, and you can't put a clea underneath it. So too, a chicken might lay an egg on a slope, and the egg will roll off and break. You can't put a clea there to stop it. Ah, but in an ashpa, you can cover it up. Why can you cover? Because over here, because the chicken is likely to lay an egg in an ashpa, and therefore you prepared for it. But not likely to lay an egg on a slope. Chickens are clever enough to know that. Right? V'hatzala mitzuyai tiru. Chachami were matir, things which are common. Things which aren't common, they don't prepare you for it. Of course, they never allowed you even things that aren't common. If he's got a barrel full of tevel, now tevel is food that you haven't taken to Mamaseh from, it's mukts on Shabbos, and it's on your roof busy drying out. Let's say you've got a barrel of dry figs on your roof, and suddenly the barrel smashes, and the figs come tumbling down. What do we say? We've got a bright that says, may clear, and after you can take a clear and put it underneath it. How can we do that? It's a why would we think for it in our minds? Look at Rashi there, Mevikli. If Afagab the Tevel, Damashan and Itahu, Tevel's Mukta, the Chavit Loshechichet the Paka, and we aren't, it's not common that barrels burst on your roof. So it's like a Hatzalish and a Mitsuya. And how can we know how to do it? The Moshe says, no, it's Begolfi Dekariti. It's with a new type of bear. Rashi says, a Golfi, the Klicher is a new one, the Shchichi, the Pake, which are common to burst and pop open. It's in a